This interview is being held with Harry Kacher, a longtime friend of mine, and I know he's got a lot of experience spearing. So we're going to start out by, Harry, give us the correct spelling of your name. Now, this is right on the north shore of Winnebago, close to Waverly Beach. And is this where you do primarily all your spearing?
Pretty much on the north end here, yes.
Tell us a little bit about your family, Harry.
I have two boys that fish with me. They've been fishing with me for, Mike says it's been 14, so over 20 years, and plus he was there before he turned 14, started spearing by himself. So he's been around a long time, and Tim, as soon as he was old enough, he was out there too, as a matter of fact. I think his first year on the ice was when he was around 6 years old. And that's about it for my family.
Okay, tell us a little bit about the equipment you've accumulated over the years.
I've got a good half dozen spears, which some have been passed on to my sons, and they also have their own spear too. So everybody has at least two spears in their shack at any one time. As far as decoys, I used to make them, and now my oldest son is into making decoys and does a real good job in it. I don't have to do it anymore. That's good.
I've seen his decoys. They are excellent decoys. Now, getting back to that, what are some major changes that you've seen since you started spearing?
The biggest one, of course, is the sudden popularity of it with clear water and everything like that a number of years ago. A lot of people got into it that never were into it, and at that time could buy your license, almost any time, and up till the opening, if you got to be a clear water year, everybody would buy a license. It just got so popular, and when I first started, you and I were part of, 3,000 maybe license tags. Now they got 7,000, 8,000, 9,000. That's the biggest thing. Then the season changes to kind of put the brakes on the harvest. But other than that, the FP season, there's a number of rules. Changes that went into effect that caused the slowdown of the harvest.
You got any other up here on this end, neighbors or old timers that you would recommend somebody interviewing about the old time sturgeon spearing?
Wally Motter, but I think he's passed on. I'm not sure. I haven't seen him in a while, and I know he was sick. The only other ones are the Violators. But I started down in Oshkosh, with you, and after I moved here, I got a shack and started fishing here. So it was. I didn't really know that many people. I know Wally Maciejewski, who has since passed away too, was quite a fisherman and a smoker of sturgeon and carp and so on and so forth.
You had one of your spearing group pass away too, didn't you? Worked for you there, the printer?
A friend of mine by the name of Glenn Ollie. He was an older guy, but Mike made him a decoy that at that time the size limit was 45 inches, and he said he wanted a decoy 45 inches, so Mike got a hold of a cedar fence post and made him a decoy that looks just like a sturgeon. And I remember a guy coming into my shack saying, "There's one now."
That was a setup. Yeah, it was a setup. Yeah. Normally, I know my brother and nephew usually spear with you up here on this end.
Right.
Is there anyone else in your group?
Yes, besides my two sons and your brother and nephew, there's a guy by the name of Bruce Nichols. I used to work with him, and he's been pretty successful also. I'm not so successful. I went like 22 or 23 years before I got my first fit.
Well, that's not bad. Our brother Bob hasn't got one yet.
He hasn't got one yet, no.
Okay. Now, I know you've had some incidents out on the lake. You broke your leg. Tell us about that. You had your new saw or something.
Right. There was a truck broke through the ice over towards the river here in Menasha by Waverly. And that was before Sunk, that retrieval team had a sled saw. And I said, "Well, I got one. I'll go home and get it." So they could cut the ice and pull that truck off the bottom. And as I was pulling the sled out there, I hit a patch of ice and slipped underneath me and broke my leg. My right leg had surgery the next day and, you know, pinned it all back together.
We got a dog in this interview too. I got to get outside. This is... Okay, we're back again. Let's talk about the little explosion out there on the lake.
I was fishing with a gentleman who I won't reveal his name right now, but I was lighting up the stove on the inside, and little did I know that the stove was already on, the gas was already on, but there was no match to it until I got to it, the stove blew back at me, and I, you know, with a jerking back away, I chipped my elbow, and that had a lot of luck on the ice, is what it amounts to.
Well, let's get to the major one. Harry had an accident out on the lake that could have been very serious, and every sturgeon fisherman thinks about it, and a lot of guys are using safety devices so it don't happen, but we'll let Harry tell from the morning the exact details.
Okay, well, the morning of this incident was real windy and snowing and blowing, and my friend Bruce and I were going out off of the Fresh Air Camp in Nina, or started from Waverly, went down there. Both of my sons were up in Poygan. That was the 2000 season Poygan. And so they were up there, and the two of us were down here, and Bob and his son were up there. But just the two of us here, and we got out there, we left, I don't know exactly what time or anything like that, but it took us a little bit to get out there. I got my shack, and we only had one vehicle, which was Bruce's. Bruce took his back to his shack, which I could see. But the unfortunate thing, the wind was blowing right at me. And I got a kink in my knee or hip or whatever it was. I can't really recall exactly what caused it, but I lost my balance and I fell in, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I've been on this lake for my whole entire life. And I wasn't worried at all about the whole thing. Well, when you got great big sub-zero boots on, and you got big heavy insulated clothes, and everything in your 8 inches below the floor because of your framing of your shack, it becomes a problem. I didn't want to take my jacket off, but I tried getting out, and I tried getting out. I couldn't get out, so I hollered for Bruce. Well, the wind was blowing right into my door, and he had just set up, and so he wasn't going to be coming out anytime soon. So I tried and tried, but unfortunately, I missed one of the weirdest parts, and that was when I did fall in. I was in the water, and I felt something tugging on my head or my neck, and I reached up, and I felt, and I had a spear in my head, and how I got this spear in my head, I have no clue, and I don't even want to venture a guess. But anyways, I pull it out, and I pull it out sideways, and I rip my ear in half, and get wide open on the side of my face, and then when I came up and I looked around, and the water was just totally red. And I was trying to get out, and I'm sure losing blood, you know, and that caused me to get weaker and weaker. So after hollering, Bruce finally came out, and he looked over at my shack. My shack is brown. He looked over and he says, "I didn't know that he painted his shack black." But what it was is the inside of the shack is black, and the door on the inside is black, and the door was wide open. So he saw all black, and oh my God, he says, "The door is open." So he jumped in the car and he came over, and him being about half my weight, I've heard this many times where he tells the story where, "Kacher, you cheap son of a gun, you better have bought a leather belt because that's all I can grab a hold of." So he grabbed my belt and threw me on the floor, or rolled me up on the floor. And then saw there was a couple of guys that were just going out. He hailed them down, you know, to help get me in the truck. And near as we can figure out, I spent over an hour in water. The doctor told your brother Bill, I mean Bob, he says that he was just seconds away. If he wouldn't have got out of that water, he wouldn't have been here. While I was in the water, I was thinking, I had that presence of mind. I was thinking, I'm just gonna tie this rope around me, this spear rope, so that at least they won't have to look for me. You know, they won't come floating up in spring. But that's, I just about given up when he hopped in that car and came over, I guess. So a lot of it is a blur, you know, but like I said, my core temperature was 88 degrees, I believe, something like that. That's when they got me to the hospital, so I don't know what it was when they got me in the ambulance. Cold.
That's an experience that a lot of spears hope they don't have to go through.
Yes, yes. And I did get a big fish that year. I got a 300-pounder, but he got off.
Well, due to that, what do you enjoy most about the sturgeon fishing in spring?
Well, I think for the most part, anybody who's been doing it the length of time that you and I have, you know, it's probably the camaraderie, the when I used to at work where they build up a ton of tension during the day and the week, and just come out and sit that shack, and you know, and just so relaxing, you know, and let your mind wander and all that stuff. But it's a really relaxing. Most people wouldn't like it, but
yeah.
You gotta like it. But if you do it, it's good.
Have you heard anything about this, what kind of illegal activities that have become good stories?
Not really that they've become good stories. No, I know one gentleman down the road here was spearing fish like crazy, and he'd get on the cell phone and he'd call up somebody and they'd come out and take the fish. And that particular day he had was opening day, as a matter of fact. He had four fish out of his shack. He speared four fish and called people, and they came out and tagged the fish. And that was bad. You know, I have no room for violating in my group, in our group. There's just no way to do it. But this guy was bragging about this four fish down at Waverly. Needless, unknown to him though, the table right behind him sat four wardens.
Oh boy.
And they overheard him, and they were right down to his house, and then quickly found out who was all involved, and they got him.
Both around comes around.
Right.
Okay, kind of finishing up, Barry. About the recipes and food ways, you're getting all kinds of different opinions on this. What's your favorite way of preparing it?
My favorite way is we take it, steak it, and then almost like a fillet it and skin it, and you know, clean it up as best we can, you know, with the fat and stuff like that, and deep fry it. I just can't. I haven't had anything better than that good deep fried. Mike makes it, you know, he goes,
yeah.
And my wife makes it.
I know Mike has had, you and Mike have bought up to the Wolf River Camp some sturgeon that you have cleaned up, and it's really good. I think that's a thing a lot of guys mistake to make. They don't get that lateral line, some of that red, yellow fat off.
Right.
And they get a good taste of that fat in there. They don't want to eat sturgeon.
Right.
Have you ever had any, you know, smoke any of it?
I've never smoked any myself. A friend that I alluded to earlier, Wally Maciejewski, smoked them. You know, and they're not bad, you know. I prefer the fried. I guess I don't really go for smoked fish anyway, but, you know, they're good, but a little bit of them, if you know what I mean.
Well, I think we've got a pretty good interview here, Harry. And is there anything else you'd like to add for the future of sturgeon spearing or anything? I know you're on the Sturgeon Advisory Council, and where do you think that's going?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know. I really don't know. I know that we went a long time between meetings this last time, and a lot of things took place in between those two meetings, and I don't know. I know that when I look around at those meetings, there's the typical, there's almost everybody's older, you know. They're going to be retiring, they're going to be passing, you know, just hanging her up or whatever, you know, and I don't know if they're going to have the people come back and try to guide this thing or help out, you know, because the Sturgeon Advisory Committee, you know, it's a citizens committee, and it's so important, I believe, they have a citizen's input rather than just go by hearsay, you know. I mean, there's some people that think we've got a lot of deer in this state, too, you know. But I just hope that, I hope they can continue with it, but I don't know exactly if it's going to, I don't know. I know there's a lot of things that are in it now that have been passed, a lot of laws, mainly because of rules, because of the advisory committee, or with the blessing of, I guess. Hopefully we don't need any more regulations.
Yeah. Well, I think this has been a pretty interesting interview here with Mr. Kacher, and I'm sure we're going to have a chapter of the dangers of spearing. So we'll wrap it up then. Thanks, Harry.
Okay, thank you.